Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Into the public session of the Edler versus Escambia County case. We've been in a shade session. There is a proposal before the board regarding an insurance settlement, and there is a proposed motion in front of the board for if the board is willing to address the matter. Basically, what we have is a proposal for settlement by insurance money for employment-related claims in the Edler case. There would still be some False Claims Act-related claims that would remain alive, and so the matter is before the board to address what it would like to do.
This is the county attorney, Allison Rogers. Yesterday, right at the very beginning, basically like in front of the open forum, the public forum for the evening meeting, yesterday was an agenda review in the morning, and then a public forum, and then a regular meeting in the night, and then right before, like they had gone into a shade meeting. Shade is sunshine speak for a meeting that you have to tell people you're having, but it's not public until after the legal events that are involved in the discussion in that meeting become settled. So eventually we can get basically a transcript of everything that happened during that discussion. But for now, we're not privy to that. All we do is get the result. In this case, she says this is about the Ramey Edler lawsuit. And remember, Ramey Edler was the former medical director for Escambia County. She raised concerns about some of the training protocols, said that that was not being done properly. There were then allegations of harassment and allegations that she was being retaliated against. Then, while she was out on medical leave, she was basically replaced by the system of, you know, doctor by committee kind of thing that we've had for a while. And she then sued the county, saying that there's a variety of things involved in the lawsuit. One is that she was taken advantage of while she was on medical leave. Number two, which is a violation of FMLA. You know, you can't get rid of somebody's job when they're on medical leave. Another one would be that we made false claims regarding, I think it's Medicare, might be Medicaid. I always forget. Medical related expenses, that the claims were inflated. And there were some other things as well, but those are kind of the big ones. And that she was a whistleblower, and that she was being retaliated against as being a whistleblower for the county, and that they were trying to get rid of her. Now, there's a long sort of backstory to all of this. I have generally found Ramey Edler to be a very credible person, and generally found that her critics are not usually, and it's usually the usual gang of people who are on the wrong side of a lot of issues, including Commissioner Jeff Burgosh. He has taken the side of the people she was against, and even so far as to sort of pay them, even when they were found to be in the wrong. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff here. But the issue here is, are they going to settle? And, Lumen May, who was very reluctant, he's the chairman right now, he was very reluctant to read this issue, but he said,
based on counsel recommendation and insurance company, and I certainly am reluctant, but based on their recommendation, I'll move the items if that's the recommendation of our counsel and our insurance.
We need to read the whole thing.
Okay, the insurance carrier settlement, $950,000 in carrier funds for Dr. Edler, and settlement in full and individual employment FMLA related claims in the case of the United States of America, Rainey M. Elder, MD versus Escambia County.
So stitching this all together, basically the insurance doesn't cover the false claims part, because that would be misbehavior of a sort that's not covered. The insurance does cover the part about, basically retaliation, forcing her out, FMLA violations claims. And the insurance company is recommending that they settle the case, which means that the insurance company thinks they're not likely to win at trial, and that if they lose at trial, that they could lose an awful lot more money. And I'm assuming, okay, I don't know as a fact, but I am assuming that the county would then be on the hook for the difference. You know, if they're recommending settle for $950 of insurance money, not county money, that then, if they go to trial and they lose, the county would be the one to make up the difference. you know, because otherwise, why wouldn't the county go to put the insurance money at risk? Anyway, so Mike Kohler, he says,
I feel like my arm was tied on this, and literally, because it's married up to the False Claims Act. And $950,000 is a lot of money. It's carrier money. We're getting our butt kicked regularly on lawsuits, and we need a reflection period.
Yeah, if you're counting, that's 0-3 right now. This week, right, you have the Pam Childers lawsuit, which they lost decisively unless they decide to appeal, and I hope they will not. Then you have the medical examiner investigation, where both the Board of the Medical Examiners and FDLE, so I get whether you count that as two or just one, it's one issue, but you know, two separate investigations, exonerated Deanna Oleski, and properly so, against these, I will say, absurd and I would say defamatory allegations that were made against her by funeral directors, and then facilitated by Stephen Barry and publicized by Jeff Bergas. Certain names come up a lot in these conversations again and again. So the war between certain Escambia County commissioners and Deanna Oleski has now vindicated her and the funeral directors, vindicated her and, you know, sort of implicated them in something because they have the pictures to prove it. And the other side, does, you know, the medical examiner has the pictures to exonerate and the critics don't have the pictures to prove they did anything wrong. So, you know, that's bad for you making this. It would, again, look to me like retaliation against her for having the audacity to show up at the meeting and complain they weren't building the medical examiner's facility fast enough. And then you have the Smokies Gate where Stephen Barry and a couple of the medical or the funeral directors get together at the barbecue place and, you know, seem to kind of concoct this plan to make her look bad, which has now completely backfired on them. We were all in the middle of that last year. Anyway, so that's 0-2. And now you have the insurance company is saying, you know, you need to pay Ramey Edler because we're either going to lose at trial or it could cost a lot more money. And so you need to settle, which, you know, you're not doing good, fellas. Again, the fellas in this case being Commissioners Barry, May, and Bergosh. Mike Kohler has pretty consistently voted against most of these things.
But the only reason I voted for this, and I want it on the record, is the totality of the situation could be worse. It could be much worse. And it comes down to a strategic decision for me to stop the hemorrhaging. So don't like it, but yeah, I supported it.
And by the way, when he says vote for, he means he's going to vote for the settlement agreement that they're going to approve the insurance company to pay. Commissioner Bergosh?
And obviously, I'm going to vote against this. I've asked over the last almost year period for any backup, any documentation, any proof on these employment claims specifically, that anyone on staff acted irresponsibly or in contravention of the law. I've not seen any proof that there has been any employment action taken against this individual that was unlawful, and no one can provide it, even up to today. I've asked over and over and over.
You remember the text message that the PNJ published that had him talking to his wife and celebrating getting rid of her, right? That seemed a little bit, well, anyway, I mean, you remember the time, Bergosh, but we did get two brand new medical directors for EMS, happy face, thumbs up. Bye-bye, Ramey Edler, couple of okay thumbs. You know, Sally just texts back a thumbs up. Bergosh says, thumbs up, yep, it's like the SNL flight attendant skit, bye-bye. So... yeah, anyway, remember how the texts were relevant in all of this because his text messages doing county business on his personal cell phone became evidence in the Ramey Edler lawsuit and I'm sure contributed to the position being weak by the county and allowing Ramey Edler to win this settlement that they're going to pay, you know, almost $1 million to her for firing her while she was on FMLA, among other things. So anyway, Jeff Bergosh is not apologetic, not, you know, no remorse, you know, just look, we lose lawsuits all the time. No big deal.
We've had to settle a lot. You're right. We've had to settle a lot of cases lately, and we get a lot of lawsuits. We're a big organization with a lot going on.
Yeah, but each individual decision, as an outsider, I'm watching this. I'm like, well, that's a bad decision. Then they lose. Oh, that's a bad decision. Then they lose. That looks like a scheme to me, and then they're losing. I mean, like, it's not hard to get these things right, but these three commissioners just seem to get these things wrong. Like, you on purpose.
Ideologically, I can't reward someone who was a former employee who tried to ruin the lives and the careers of at least a half dozen people with false allegations, all of which were disproved, and none of those folks were convicted of any crimes.
I think that's accurate.
And reward this person going out the door. And I understand the totality of the discussion we had back there, and I'm not at liberty to say.
Yeah, but again, the insurance company, the dispassionate third party, thinks, we don't want to be on the hook for more money. This seems appropriate to us.
I think these two individual complaints should be separated. We have insurance coverage for the employment. We don't have insurance coverage for any false claims. And I think they should be fought individually. I'm going to lose that vote tonight, but I just want on the record why. I never saw any proof, and I don't believe that any exists, that the staff members, past and present, took any employment actions against this former employee that would generate $1 million settlement. And so I just can't support it, Mr. Chairman.
But the insurance company views it differently. And also, that's an interesting way to say it. I haven't seen any proof of that. That's different than nothing was ever done. But, I mean, maybe he would say that as well. I don't know. So Lumen May says he agrees, but we got to support it.
I'm certainly not trying to convince you to support it, and I'll just tell you, I agree with everything that you said. I'm just taking the recommendation of our carrier because I believe that there's going to be more exposure if there's not a settlement. If it was taxpayer dollars and not insurance money, I wouldn't vote for it tonight. But because it is an insurance company, and they are telling us to settle it, is the reason that I'm going to support it.
That's actually very telling. That means that. Which you can see why. Somebody else's money, $1 million, to make the thing go away versus putting taxpayer money at risk. That's a very sensible decision. But he's actually saying that if it were just their money to settle, he wouldn't vote to settle. Which, to me, if the insurance company, the dispassionate third neutral party, is observing this and saying do it, they're saying likely to lose. But the commissioner's given a chance to make a better decision after the bad decisions would still make the bad decision. This is good Lord.
I would like to know at some point the proof of the retaliation. I would like to know the proof of the violations. I mean, it may, you know, for my own peace of mind. It's very disappointing to where we are. But as I've said earlier today in the media, you know, sometimes we just have to move on with all different type of things in our life. And so with this one, I'm ready to move on. So that motion stands.
And they wound up with the vote. It was 3-1. Of course, we don't have a District 4 commissioner right now, and Burgosh was against. So he wanted to keep fighting. Again, my assessment, okay, is, I found Ray Midler very credible. I think the people that they've been voting to pay off or help out or compensate were in the wrong. And then, you know, when it comes to somebody like Ramey Edler, you know, particularly Burgosh, but others are just unwilling to do what seemed to me to be the right thing. So they just seem to keep getting, you know, Pam Childers, you get it wrong. Deanna Oleski, you get it wrong. Ramey Edler, you get it wrong. And all in 1 week. That just doesn't happen very much, that you see it all smashed in together so easily like that. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, man, it was a big news day yesterday. Plus, you got this fire going on the west side that is at a, 30% containment as of last night. Structures have been damaged. Structures are going to be lost. You know, they're frightened to contain it, and, you know, that's its own difficult thing. And we're seeing these planes and helicopters flying overhead, some of which are dumping water, apparently. I mean, this is a weird, wild news day yesterday. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you're thinking about the possibility of buying a new home or selling a home, or, you know, maybe it's the first time. You know, a lot of people, that first time you buy, it's kind of, you put it off because it's scary. It's a lot of money. And, you know, renting is at least safe and secure, and you know what it is. And buying is, golly, what's going to happen? Of course, then again, you know, you can have, you know, rental rates jacked up on you, and, or, you know, people convert their rental to something else. I know we had that happen to us one time through no fault of our own. The landlord basically said, you got to get out of this house because we're giving it to our kid. We're like, oh, okay. Quick, let's find somewhere else, right? So there's all kinds of things about renting that are disadvantageous. But look, if you've been thinking about whether it's time to buy, especially for that first time, call an expert. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, she understands. You know, I wish we could go back in time and buy for the first time with somebody like her. I mean, it wouldn't have been her because it was in, you know, Illinois, not here, but somebody like her. Wow, what a great benefit. Sells 175 homes last year. Because, you know, some realtors, they sell a couple of homes a year, a few, and they have a sort of commensurate amount of expertise. Somebody who sells 175 homes, they have an appropriate level of expertise, right? Just through repetition of doing the thing. And she can help you figure all of this out. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Hi, this is Earl Ron, president of New South Window. If you need new windows or doors for your home, heads up. This message is for you. New South is having a one-day factory sale this Saturday only in our factory showroom. 40% off high-performance award-winning windows, 40% off energy-efficient windows and patio doors, 40% off our factory direct products installed. Bring in your measurements for on-the-spot pricing or call today. One day only, this Saturday from 9 till 4. Please visit us at newsouthwindow.com.
This Saturday only, save an additional 5% when you arrive before noon.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
Somebody texted me and reminded me the county commission is not 0-3, they're 0-4. The Replevin lawsuit with the text messages that Jeff Bergosh is using the county attorney to sue on his behalf, they lost that one too. I forgot. How can you remember so many failures? No, you're right. 527 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. By the way, you know, if you miss parts of the show and you want to go back and listen, you can always listen to, we podcast the entire shows at newsradio923.com. So interviews, segments, the rap, transgressors, and then whole hours. So if you want to listen to, and the app is a great way to listen to them. Because if you download the News Radio Pensacola app, that's what you look up, News Radio Pensacola, it's very easy to listen to the podcast. Right on your phone, pause them, listen to them later. Listening live, pause it, listen later, whatever. It's very, very, it's a really simple functionality app, which I always like. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is out with a tentative timeline for restoring safe navigation into and out of the Port of Baltimore after that bridge collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Engineers are planning to reopen a permanent 700-foot wide, 50-foot deep federal navigation channel, and they say they're hoping to have that done by the end of May so operations there can get back to normal. Forecasters are predicting for the upcoming hurricane season that it will be extremely active. Researchers over at the Colorado State University have come out with their predictions. They're calling for 23 named storms and 11 hurricanes. They say five of those could be Cat 3 or higher. And President Biden reportedly putting a little bit of pressure on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to make an agreement for a ceasefire with Hamas. During a phone call yesterday, Biden urged Netanyahu to make a deal to bring the hostages home and said it is essential to stabilize the humanitarian situation in Gaza.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, 437-1620. That's my phone number. You can always join me with anything that's on your mind, agree, disagree, something else that you find fascinating. The county commission yesterday, actually, there was a lot of very interesting stuff, both in the agenda review before the actual meeting. There was a lot of interesting stuff there, and then there was so much in the actual meeting, which I didn't even get to listen to all of the actual meeting. But one of the things that came up that I thought was just interesting is Commissioner Bergosh, who, of course, in the redistricting where he says where District 1, Perdido Key and Inner Rarity reverted to him, I say where he aggressively went out of his way to gerrymander Doug Underhill's territory into his own possession. But, you decide whose perspective you want to believe. So now he owns the Perdido Key roundabout, which he says, we all know it's broken. We all know it's a problem. We're working on it. We're either going to get a traffic light there or we're going to make a much larger centered roundabout that's actually going to work properly. But the newest thing, if you haven't been through there recently, is rumble strips going in both directions, not from the Johnson Beach, but from the other two directions. And I will describe them for you as teeth removing rumble strips. They are rough, man.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Biden on the move today, touring the site of the Key Bridge destroyed by that massive cargo ship last month.
He says, I've instructed my team to move heaven and earth to reopen the port and rebuild the bridge as soon as possible. In February, he issued an executive order to better protect the country's ports from cyber attacks.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, the president will meet with federal, state, and local officials, as well as first responders working at the Key Bridge disaster. A critical 30-minute phone call between President Biden and the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu results in a move by Israeli lawmakers greenlighting the opening of additional spots so aid can reach the people of Gaza. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen visiting China saying today the U.S. and China have worked on an exercise for jointly dealing with a large bank failure in either country. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It's 52 degrees right now, clear skies in Pensacola. Well, a big brush fire yesterday caused an evacuation in a neighborhood off Gulf Beach Highway. Now, the latest update from the Florida Forestry Service as of late yesterday evening, they say that fire is now about 50% contained. The county did evacuate the area of Mary Fleming Drive and Weller Court because of this fire yesterday. Now, that evacuation and most of the road closures in that area have been lifted overnight. The Florida Forestry Service, though, does continue working in the area to contain the rest of the fire and put down any hot spots. And we'll have more on this here throughout the day. Well, the Escambia Sheriff's Office is investigating. They say a gun was reportedly found in a classroom at the C.A. Weiss Elementary School. According to Channel 3, that gun was brought to the school by a child with a disability. It was found in a special needs classroom. At this point, no charges have been filed and no additional information has been made available. Santa Rosa County leaders moving forward with a plan to address road infrastructure, but it will depend on voters in November.
But why, as a Santa Rosa County resident, if you've got pride in your community and you care about where you live and the roads you drive on every single day, would you want to go over across the bridge and pay the 7.5% there and you're not willing to pay the 7.5% here?
That from Commissioner Colton Wright. Yesterday, leaders held two public hearings on impact fees and a half-cent increase to the local option sales tax. In a 3-2 vote, commissioners voted to approve impact fees for new homes, but only if residents also vote for a sales tax increase. Now, if that's not approved, the sales tax, or if it is approved, rather, the sales tax would increase to 7.5%, the same as Escambia County. Escambia County District 2 Commissioner says a meeting is taking place next week on board NAS Pensacola to try and address a growing number of resident complaints about traffic woes on Blue Angel practice days.
I actually think they should limit the number of people, like they get a ticket like you do when you go to the movie or a concert. If you don't have a DOD ID card, you have to have that to get on the base. And then we could control the number. It'd be complicated for the first few weeks, but then everyone would sign up online and they'd know if you didn't get it, you're not getting on the base.
That one suggestion from Commissioner Mike Kohler, and he says the meeting will happen next Monday. This comes as District 1 Commissioner Jeff Bergosh will be in Washington, D.C. next week lobbying for a $50 million new hangar for the Blue Angels. 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have a beautiful sunny day in store for today. Temperatures warming up near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 50 degrees. For Saturday, plenty of sunshine with just a few passing clouds, high near 74. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 56. Rounding out the weekend with some beautiful weather, high near 73. Mostly sunny skies. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 63. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And it is 52 in Pensacola, 54 in Gulf Breeze, and 47 in Milton. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Physical activity can make your life better. Spring is a great time to begin reaching your movement goals. The Florida Department of Health in Santa Rosa County is celebrating National Minority Health Month and promoting breastfeeding for all babies by holding the All Moms, All Babies 1 Mile Color Walk or Run on April 13th. This free, family fun event will be held at the Baghdad Mills Site Park beginning at 10 a.m. Call 850-983-5250 to pre-register or for more information, visit health.gov/moveyourway for tips on how to get active.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, life on the farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green truck.
do. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
Yes, every week we do an interview with Ryan Jenkins, our favorite farmer up in Jay, Florida. Peanuts and cotton, although not so much cotton this year, and you know, other things as well. We talked to him on Monday, but just haven't had a chance to replay this interview because we had a lot of other really good interviews since then we wanted to replay as well that were a little bit more timely news-wise. But this one's actually kind of timely because next week the county commission, I think, in Santa Rosa is going to take up this protection of the farmland concept that he was talking about, which it's not that they hadn't been. It's just that it sort of coincides timeliness-wise. Anyway, talked to him on Monday. Ryan Jenkins, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing fantastic. So we got a lot of stuff. We got a lot of stuff to get to today. But just because I always like to give people a reminder of, you know, what's your activity like right now? What are you in the middle of doing at the end of March and April?
Well, we've talked before about meeting season. There are a lot of off-season meetings and different things you go to try to keep the ball rolling in agriculture. So we've had tons of meetings, you know, all over the country. And two things that we've done since the last time I spoke with everyone is some annual things we have on our farm where we get people out to the farm and teach them a little bit about what we do. We had our Jenkins Farms Ag Career Day, which is geared toward the high school students, the FFA kids, the Future Farmers of America kids, showing them that there are many different careers in agriculture that are out there that are not necessarily the guy that owns the farm or the guy that's driving the tractor, you know, so that they can still feel connected to their roots and still feel a part of agriculture, but doing something a little bit different than what we do on our farm. So we had, I think we had, you know, close to 100 students there. And like, I think there was 14 different presenters there talking about nice. Each of their careers and how they got to where they are. And then the following week, we had our annual Farm Safety Day, which is all geared toward first responders. You know, we had anywhere from EMTs and paramedics to ER nurses and doctors, firefighters, police, everybody that would be involved in an agricultural accident from the beginning, kind of through the patient's care. And, you know, with my past lifeline and EMS experience along with my farming experience, you know, I felt like I had a unique perspective to show people the types of injuries and the types of accidents that they could expect just here in our local area on the farm. So that was a huge day for us. We had well over 100 people in attendance for that.
Wow, that's
great. Two things that we're excited about, you know, it's just helping connect the dots for some people. So we're real thankful to be able to do that.
You know, since not a lot of sort of news on the farm going on right now, which I never know when I talk to you whether I still remember the one time when you came on and said our spreader is broken and I don't have the ability to get another one. And I'm going to have to go. I found one in my own junk pile because I hadn't come and picked up the junk yet. Like that, just that's the kind of stuff that you deal with all the time. That is amazing to me that, you know, basically your farm life that year depended on that particular luck, you know, fact sort of thing. But one of the things, you know, we hear an awful lot about is farmland being taken over for development, which, you know, people get older, they die, their property gets managed by their kids sell it, or somebody comes along with a pretty hefty price tag and says, hey, you know, we'd like to buy your land, or just, you know, and people have been holding it forever and ever, and then they finally change their mind. They think they can make more money building something on it than growing stuff on it. What's being done to prevent that? Because in the overall, if that happens too much, eventually we don't eat and we don't have clothes. I mean, this is a problem overall.
It is, and it's a problem that we're really dealing with in our local counties here, you know. The cities are moving to the country. Everybody's tired of the city life, or a lot of people are tired of the city life, will move to the country and buy themselves, quote unquote, a farm, you know, which to them is 2 acres or 5 acres or whatever. They want to buy a piece of land and do their thing and maybe have a little bit more privacy. But as we're doing that, we're losing farmland. American Farmland Trust, I think we've talked about that on here before. They did a study from 2001 to 2016. And during that entire time frame, America was losing 2,000 acres a day to development. Well, since 2015, numbers I got from the USDA, the Department of Agriculture, now shows that from 2015 to now, we're losing about 5,000 acres a day.
Oof.
And wow. I'm telling you, people need to wake up. We cannot continue to lose this farmland and still be independent. There's going to come a time, and we're almost there, to where we're going to be dependent on other countries for our food, and we do not, I'm telling you, if you don't hear anything else I say, we do not want to be dependent on another country for our food and fiber. We just don't want to do that. They are in control of you then, right?
Which has always been a great source of power, leverage, and independence for the United States, being that we are the exporter of so much, the breadbasket of the world, right? That we do that has been a, I mean, tremendous source of foreign strength and domestic security, right?
That's right. And, you know, people are just hearing me right now, and it's going in one ear and out the other because nobody's hungry and nobody's naked. I mean, that's the bottom
line.
Now,
speak for yourself.
It's going to require, you know, well, yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Let me rephrase that. Most people aren't hungry and most people aren't naked.
But right. They're not. The problem is not dire and pressing in your personal life right now, right?
That's right. But once it gets to that point, we're going to be too far gone and there's not going to be any turning back. Once someone actually becomes hungry or doesn't have clothes to wear and we're there, we're too far gone. We'll never be able to go back. So that's why this is so important. I know it's hard for a lot of people to see it because of those reasons, but we have got to do something to slow this growth down and protect our farmland. And so there, now, the things I'm about to speak about, I'm not an expert on. I know the very tip of the iceberg, right? It's in-depth.
Well,
stuff,
you're the tip of the spear. I mean, you're the tip of the spreader. I mean, you know, the tip of the tiller, whatever. And tell me some solutions, because otherwise it's just, like, frustrating, which, I mean, sometimes life is just frustrating, but what can realistically be done, what is being done to try to protect farms and farmland from encroachment and development that, you know, is dangerous to our status as a net exporter of food?
Well, you know, it's a very slippery slope, right? Because basically we want to tell you what you can do with your land, but then it not be the same for us. I mean, that's kind
right.
of what, that's in the ideal world, that's what we'd want. We'd want to just protect all the farmland, but we'd still be able to sell it when we needed to or whatever.
Right. And that's so the problem is it's a transaction for the person who owns it. Is they can make more doing something other than farm with it. That's why they do it.
That's correct. And we don't want to get it to where we devalue any land or make it where someone can't sell their land if they need to. But a couple of the things that have been working in other parts of the country and that, you know, Florida is getting into, one is conservation easements. So that is where you take a piece of land and then you make it where it can't be developed. So that is usually between, like, for us, let's just talk about agriculture today. Let's just talk strictly farmland. They have it for other things, but let's just talk strictly what we're here to talk about today, and that's farming. So basically a farmer could partner up, and it's going to typically be from a government entity, say, meaning that's where the money's going to come from. They would pay you X number of dollars per acre for you to say, all right, I've got a contract with you. You pay me this money. And it's a perpetual agreement. It just goes on forever and ever and ever from that day. That land can never be developed. So they'll pay you a sum of money. You tell them you're never going to develop that land. It's always going to be in production agriculture, and then the transaction's made. That's the simplest way to put it that I know. So that's something that would have to be funded by the government.
Okay, so the government is basically paying an easement subsidy. They compensate you for agreeing to turn that land into permanent farmland conservation status, which you can sell that land, but the land's going to always carry that easement with it because of the price. And is that they pay you up front and also a monthly or like an annual, or how does that work?
No. It's for lack of a better term, just like selling your land. I mean, it's a price, a significant price that's paid just like if you were selling your land, but
okay.
You're not actually selling your land.
Okay. So you sell
so
the
you
easement and then you own the land. Okay.
That's right. You continue to own the land. You continue to use it and all that. Basically, and I'm probably not using the right terminology in this, so don't tear me apart out there, but basically you're selling your development rights. You can't do anything with that land other than farm it from there on out. And so you get a one-time sum for that, and you can go with it. But the thing about it, you know, you can turn around and try to buy other farmland with it, or or whatever the case. It's your money, just like if you were selling the actual land, like we're all used to doing, except you're just selling the rights.
How much, compared to like market value, how much do you get from the conservation easement sale typically? I mean, is it enough to really motivate sales?
It is.
Okay.
I don't have that number. I have heard it, but I don't want to say it on the air because I don't remember it that good.
Okay.
I think I remember what it is. It's significant. It's not just a few hundred dollars. It's in the thousands. So it's up there like if you were selling your land.
Okay.
And then another thing that they're doing is transfer of development rights. And so there again, I'm not the expert here. I'm just telling you my synopsis of it is basically Mr. Home Developer somewhere wants to develop a plot of land and turn it, let's just say, into a subdivision, but it's not zoned to be able to do that. He could come to a farmer and say, hey, I need to buy some development rights. And then the thing about this program is this is a negotiation between the developer and the land, the farm landowner, that the government doesn't have to be involved in. There's no money coming out of the government's pocket. There's no grants or anything like that to make that program work. So this is strictly a business deal between a developer and a farm landowner. Hey, I need to buy your development rights so that I can put them down here on this piece of land that I want to build a subdivision on so that I can build my subdivision. And so by doing that, the farmer's selling his development rights just like in the, basically just like in the conservation easement deal that we just spoke of, where that farmland from now on forevermore has to be farmland. And they're taking his rights and moving it to another piece of land so that someone can build there that couldn't build there before.
That's interesting, because at first you think it's going to be like mining rights, but then you're actually selling access to the land where the mining rights are. But in this case, you're actually transferring the development rights from one place to another in order to get the ability to build where you couldn't build before in exchange. That's interesting. By the way, I'm getting communications in from a variety of local officials saying they love it. Some of them support it. Some of them, you know, already the state of Florida does a lot of stuff in this regard. So you have allies in this. You know, this is something that people are caring about and they are in support.
We need allies. We need to all be worried about what we see happening around us. I understand a lot of people want growth and growth is good and all that. My plea is let's be smart about it. Let's don't waste our resources, because I'm telling you, once a house is planted out in the middle of the field, there will never be another peanut, another cotton, another corn, another soybean, nothing else planted there. It's going to be houses. So we've got to be smart with what we have and what God's given us and use it to the best of our abilities to help sustain us, right?
Yeah. So, yep.
That's what we've got to be looking at for the future.
And I think this is something that a lot of your elected leaders are, you know, they're grasping or already grasp more and more. And just like base protection, you know, you've got to do things to protect the military mission. You're going to have to do things to protect the agricultural mission. It might look a little bit different, but, these are things that ultimately matter for all of us. And, you know, trying to, you know, shape that in a way that makes sense to all parties and, you know, doesn't have to violate people's property rights. That's the ideal solution. Ryan Jenkins, he's the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, we always like to end with a farm fact of some kind. Do you have one for us this week?
Yeah, I do. In Santa Rosa, you know, we're getting ready to plant. I hope by the time we talk next week, next month, we will have planted some peanuts. Santa Rosa County usually has between 20 and 22,000 acres of peanuts every year. And that the yield that we get from that would make about 630 million peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Nice. And is that going to be up this year because people are planting peanuts instead of cotton?
Peanuts are going to be up this year, yes. That's
very
correct.
Very good.
That
all right.
That is not changing.
Very good. Ryan Jenkins, owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. And, you know, I know it's just me talking to you, but trust me, there's all kinds of people texting me in their support for this as well. But we believe in what you're doing. We appreciate what you're doing. And we like our kids to eat and have clothes, too. So thank you for doing what you do, sir. I appreciate you.
Thank you. We appreciate you, too. Have a great week.
Absolutely. And by the way, as I mentioned right before the interview, I think this is scheduled to be on the agenda for next week for the Santa Rosa County Commission to work on this too, which is very good news. I don't think it was just because of this, but I do know that some of the commissioners were actually working with Ryan on this stuff. So, you know, We're trying to make progress, which is a very good thing. Now, if only we could get in Escambia County, too. If only we could get a little bit of that protection in Escambia County instead of just, you know, develop everything everywhere, which is just, again, long-term, not the best strategy. Hey, if you need air conditioning, heating, electrical, plumbing work, Peden, they will take care of you. Professional work, so show up on time, do it right the first time, stand by the work, 100% satisfaction guarantee. Of course, they have been expanding because they've been so successful here. Recently just expanded to Baldwin County last year and then now to Mobile County and all the way east, all the way to Tallahassee. So everything in the central time zone, a little past that even, in Florida or in the southwestern portion of Alabama, they will take care of your needs for all of those subjects. And right now through April, they are, again, they've expanded, but also they have $250 off indoor air quality systems through the entire month. So you need heating, you need air conditioning, you need a tune-up before you get into the generator year, whatever, whatever, okay? Call Peden. They will take care of you. Schedule an appointment or get more information about them at peden.com.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Parents usually know if their children will argue over their inheritance, but this can be prevented. I'm Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors. No one wants to see their wealth wasted away because of poor planning. I've assisted several clients with estate planning ideas and sometimes have served as trustee or executor upon their death. Give me a call at 497-6167. Armada Advisors is charting a better course.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help, from running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Wrap up your day with all of the national, state, local sports and entertainment news with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin on News Radio 92.3.
Nenge Yomboko from Cameroon. Do you remember me? It's Lionel Joseph.
Lionel!
Watched that recently, Trading Places. So funny. 557, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. That's the movie in which Dan Aykroyd wears Jamaica face. It's fine. It's funny. Stop being so offended about everything. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A federal judge has denied Donald Trump's request to dismiss his classified documents case. Trump claimed the case should be tossed because his possession of records was protected by the Presidential Records Act. The judge in her decision wrote that the charges Trump was seeking to have dismissed didn't rely on that statute. Madonna's lawyers are asking a judge to throw out a lawsuit against the pop star for apparently starting a concert 2 hours late. The lawyers said that Madonna's shows rarely start on time and that the plaintiffs didn't suffer any type of injuries related to it. And apparently, for all of you who are sharing passwords out there,
It isn't so.
Disney Plus is now going to start cracking down on the password sharing over the summer. Disney CEO Bob Iger says that crackdown will begin in June in some countries. And Hulu, also owned by Disney, began their crackdown here last month. So.
Wow. Fun times. Pay for your services. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. It's 5:58 here on News Radio 92.3. We got Bands on the Beaches back in swing, and coming up April 9th, Carly Ryan is going to be performing. It's always a good time. Bands on the Beach, 7 o'clock on every Tuesday. The Fiesta Children's Treasure Hunt is tomorrow, April 6th, Museum Plaza downtown, right behind the T.T. Wentworth. Oh, the formerly T.T. Wentworth Museum. Sorry, I just, you know, always forget. It's so hard to keep up with the appropriate languaging these days. Children 10 and under are eligible to participate. It's a great event, lots of fun. Everything begins on registration is at 11:30. Free lunch, snow cones, games, goes on to about 2:30. There's a lot of things they give away, too, so that is a always a really, really, I think there's like 500 children are going to get a giveaway bag filled with goodies. So, you know, that's a good event, always a good event. And Men Who Cook comes up April 14th, Sunday. So a week from this Sunday, I'll be cooking. Lots of folks are cooking. It's about, you know, 30 of us non-professionals and a few professionals as well. A great event at Blue Wahoo Stadium. Get tickets early because they will not be available late. This event always sells out and it really is quite good.
I've been calling it the J.G. Wentworth Building instead of T.T. Wentworth. Sorry, guys.
That's funny. And Navy Day is the 17th of
Stream 19th. Us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.